Case number 16-7066. Patrick Kincaid, on behalf of himself and all others similarly situated at L. Appellants, Rashad Bug Bay versus Government of the District of Columbia. Mr. Light for the appellants, Mr. Lederstein for the appellee, D.C.
Good morning. May it please the court.
Good morning.
This case involves the question of whether the government's post and forfeit system violates the unconstitutional conditions doctrine. This court's decision in Otter versus Pritzker set forth guidance as to how this court analyzes such questions.
Before that has to be answered, the person has to be deprived of something in the way of due process. What are they being deprived of here?
They're being deprived of their property interest and their money without having due process.
Don't they have a full right to a hearing if they choose? They choose to waive it when they post the money and go along with the post and release, don't they?
There's no hearing to waive unless you're referring to a criminal trial.
Yeah. What happens if they don't take the deal here?
They don't take the deal, then they go through the court process.
It's called a process.
Trial.
That's right. What we call due process.
Right.
Due process doesn't mean you force process on people. It means you make it available. What process isn't available here? When you go in and plead guilty,
yes,
you don't get a jury trial.
Right.
But you haven't been deprived of due process. You've waived the jury trial. If you get a speeding ticket and you go down and you pay it at the courthouse, you don't have a trial because you waived that due process. What's the difference here? How are they being deprived of anything by being given the opportunity to waive it?
Well, by going through the criminal process, you have protections in the form of a judge, prosecutorial
discretion,
et cetera.
And don't they have every opportunity to do that here?
They are being coerced into waiving that.
How are they being coerced?
They're being offered, you can opt out of that very difficult, very expensive system for paying a relatively small amount
of money.
You
can opt out of due process. You always can opt out of due process. It's always difficult. Well, it's not all that difficult, but it's always got some expense to it. If you plead guilty or if you pay a traffic ticket, you're doing the same thing. You're electing to be deprived of your money without any further process.
Well, Your Honor, I don't agree that you can always...
I think your theory here would take so much ground with it, we'd have no system left if we hold this as unconstitutional.
Well, Your Honor, I disagree that one can always waive due process. Certainly, one couldn't consent to have a trial before a biased judge or a tribunal without any power to adjudicate them, or for that matter, before a police officer instead of a judge. So there are some limits to what kinds of things are waivable in terms of due process. And this is precisely one of those things. If somebody chooses the judicial option, they do get due process.
Yeah.
They don't get any due process if they go through the post and forfeit.
What about
procedure.
Plea bargaining? How would you distinguish that, or would you, or can you?
So plea bargaining is distinguishable because in that system there are procedural safeguards. A judge has to accept the plea of guilty. It's not as if somebody goes in, says, I'm guilty, and then the prosecutor just takes them off
to jail.
How about
paying a traffic ticket? How do you distinguish that?
Well, there's due process when you deal with traffic and infractions as well. It's
when you just
summary.
Pay a ticket, what process is different than what you're doing here in the posting?
Well, when you get a traffic ticket, there's a potential for a hearing, even though
there's
it may not be.
There's a potential for a hearing here. You just have waived it when you post and go on.
Well, there's no hearing being offered to waive, and the traffic infraction.
Whoa. Now, you're the very person, I think, who told me just a few minutes ago that if you didn't accept the posting process, you're going to wind up having a hearing, right?
Right. Perhaps I'm not being clear. I'm distinguishing between a hearing and a trial. But
between hearing and hearing?
Right.
I don't think we make that distinction between hearing and hearing in due process.
Sure.
You pay the traffic ticket, you don't have a hearing.
When you pay a traffic ticket.
You post in this, post and forfeit, you don't have a hearing, right? Either one of them.
Well, when you have a traffic ticket, you have an option of You can admit that you're guilty, or you can deny it and have a hearing. Sometimes
post and forfeit. You can decide that you don't want to post and forfeit, and you can get a hearing. You've been stopped, arrested, or ticketed for a misdemeanor, and you can choose the hearing, or you can choose post and forfeit. I'm not understanding the distinction you're making between that and the traffic ticket.
Well, with a traffic ticket, there is no option to just pay money, right?
Typically, there is.
The option is I admit guilt, and therefore I'm paying money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an abbreviated process. Because you're admitting guilt, there isn't much.
You're not
to
denying.
Decide. You're not denying it.
It's not necessarily the equivalent of a guilty plea. It can be the equivalent of a nolo.
Sure, you are admitting it, and that's why.
You can do the same thing under the post and forfeit. You can pay your money and take your liberty.
Well, post and forfeit doesn't ask whether you're guilty or not, whether you admit anything.
Neither does the traffic ticket.
Well,
you send your check in, you've no-load.
Well, you are, with the traffic ticket, it is an abbreviated process when you are admitting that you did it. But with the post and forfeit, it's not just an abbreviated process. There is no process. There is no determination whatsoever. It would be one thing if...
Why isn't this analogous, or in fact, maybe part of prosecutorial discretion? A police officer has the discretion whether to arrest somebody for a misdemeanor or look the other way. And so the police officer presents, after an arrest, an option to the individual at the officer's discretion. Why isn't that part of prosecutorial discretion?
Well, part of the problem is that the difference between a police officer and a prosecutor is that the prosecution's office has additional safeguards to guide that discretion. For example, if somebody believes that the discretion is being exercised inappropriately as a violation of the Constitution, that would all be something that could be part of the judicial system.
And that kind of oversight within the prosecutor's office is not analogous to the oversight within the police department?
That's right. There's not even any standards for when the police department are to offer this. It is completely unfettered decision-making on their part. But I think another...
The police chief has to promulgate the list of misdemeanors that will qualify for this post and forfeit.
Right. There's no guidance as to which things go on that list, but they promulgate a list and then sort of arbitrarily set dollar values for it, and then the police officers are given no guidance as to when to offer it and when not.
Wouldn't the vast majority of arrestees be thrilled to have this option? And your suit, if successful, would take away something that allows quick, speedy, efficient resolution of arrests?
Well, I think it's not really a question of whether people would prefer a system that if there's constitutional problems with it, it doesn't matter if both sides are happy with it. The issue is, I think people would be even happier to not go to trial and not pay the money because they are not guilty.
Right. So your reaction is to do away with misdemeanors? That seems to be what you just said.
What I'm saying is the
situation that exists here is somebody has committed, or at least the police think somebody's committed a misdemeanor.
Right.
Something's going to happen.
Right.
One thing that could happen would be they'd arrest them, take them to jail.
Right.
And then they would eventually have a trial.
Right.
Or one thing can happen is they can post and forfeit.
Right. And in the post
you
and
really
forfeit.
You really want to take away the post and forfeit option?
It wouldn't take away the post and forfeit option. It would add a procedural safeguard.
What are you wanting us to do that adds a procedural safeguard?
Well, the choice of procedural safeguards needs to be up to the counsel. The issue here
is
just
you're a counsel right now. You're a legal counsel. What is it that you think can be done to keep post and forfeit and make it constitutional?
At least some sort of minimal.
No, don't tell me some sort of. Tell me something that can be done.
Okay. For example,
give me an example of what would be
right,
something.
For example, like with a parking ticket, you can schedule, if you want, a hearing, or you can fill out a form and say, I did it. But at least then there would be some opportunity within that system that, you know, whether or not the council had to create it, there would at least be some opportunity to make your case using that option.
Don't you have the option now of having a hearing?
You can go through, subject yourself to the criminal process.
And have a hearing, yeah.
But what's different here is if the government wants to offer two tracks, both of them need to comport with due process. It's not enough to say, on the one track, the government can offer something with no procedural safeguards because you can always not choose it. That would allow the government to create any sort of process, regardless of how arbitrary it is, as long as the court said, as long as the government said, well, you can always have a criminal trial if you want one, that would allow essentially the government to impose whatever conditions they want.
The criminal process,
yes,
is filled with decisions of that sort. Mm-hmm. From all the way from arrest to the end of the line in clemency, mm-hmm. where it's just totally discretion and the total discretion, and there aren't any particular standards. The prosecutor can charge a felony, or the prosecutor can charge a misdemeanor, or
right.
can charge maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor can plea bargain, but he doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. The prosecutor can accept a plea to a lesser included offense, but he doesn't have to.
Right.
The jury can dispense its version of mm-hmm. justice and acquit, even though the evidence is overwhelming, of guilt is overwhelming, and on and on and on.
Yes.
The entire criminal process is built up. Mm-hmm. And, which leads me to another question. I don't see that Matthews versus Eldridge is the standard here. The Supreme Court decided that when it comes to the criminal process, the Medina case controls. And that case asks whether whatever the procedure is, whether it violates some well-grounded fundamental fairness recognized in the history of the country. And I don't see any claim of that sort on your part.
Sure. Well, as far as the issue of discretion, the analogy here, I think, would be the police have the discretion to offer post and forfeit or not. But what is unique about here and what never occurs in the criminal process is you never get to say, prosecutor, I'll give you $50 if you make it a misdemeanor instead of a felony, or I'll give you $100 if you just drop the case. And that's essentially what's happening
well,
there.
If you look at the post, the amount of money that's being posted, by the way, what is the highest amount that's required for posting a misdemeanor?
I don't know. I know it goes over 100 to at least 250 for certain things. There are a lot of obscure crimes on the list.
Yeah. Okay. But if you view that as a fine, then the analogy that Judge Santel was drawing is perfect. Is it not?
Well, the problem
you
is...
You can pay the fine.
Right.
Or you can contest it in a trial before a judge.
But before anybody pays a fine, there is a finding of some form of another.
Well, there is here. The person's been arrested, so at a minimum, there's probable cause that the person committed a misdemeanor. That's a finding.
Well, it's a finding of probable cause, but that's not an adjudication.
Well, there's not a finding one way or the other on a traffic ticket when you send your check in. There is no finding. This is exactly like paying your traffic ticket without going to court.
Well, it's a finding in the same way that any administrative procedure would have a finding if I end up with a civil infraction, I can go before an administrative judge, and it's not a finding before.
Or very often you can
doubt.
Pay a fine in an administrative procedure without having a judge adjudicate anything.
Well, the administrative...
happens every day, all the time.
In fact, this is even more lenient than the traffic traffic ticket situation, because you pay the traffic ticket and points may be added to your record. But here, if you follow the post and forfeit procedure, the statute itself specifically says that it doesn't go on your criminal record and can never be used against you.
I think
so
that's actually
more lenient than the traffic.
I think that's actually part of the problem. It's so lenient that it has a coercive effect. There's no reason for anybody to ever choose the criminal process. And that is what makes the unconstitutional conditions doctrine so powerful here.
Okay, we'll give you some time back on rebuttal.
Thank you.
Hopefully it'll be brief.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Jason Lettersign for the District of Columbia. We just want to emphasize that this is a piece of legislation that the council has adopted to try to meet its demands for an urban municipality in trying to resolve misdemeanor cases versus more serious cases. They've enacted a very fair procedure that benefits everyone, the district community, as well as those who are arrested on these low-level misdemeanors. You have a possibility of not having to go through the inconvenience of a trial and whatever might result from that. You're able to pay a small fine, which is a sort of a fine in retrospect, and be able to go on your way.
In the list of misdemeanors, are they all just, is the maximum punishment all just a fine, or is there a possibility of jail?
In the collateral offenses that are eligible?
Yeah.
There's possibility of jail time in some of these collateral offenses, yes.
Can you tell me, I'm not sure I have a complete grasp of how this system works. First of all, the prosecution of misdemeanors in the District of Columbia is not by the U.S. Attorney?
I think one could generally make the distinction between misdemeanors and felonies. I can't say it's a perfect separation, but the District of Columbia does prosecute these low-level crimes.
The Office of the Attorney General? Is that?
That's right. I'm sorry. The District of Columbia Office of Attorney General.
The United Corporation Council? It's
right.
And if someone gets arrested out on the street for a misdemeanor and is handed a citation rather than being put in handcuffs and taken down to the police station, is that person arrested on the street eligible for this post-enforcement?
Absolutely.
But how does that work? He doesn't hand the money to the police officer on the street.
No. This is the field arrest process. It's actually been in the statute, D.C. code, for a long time, but it was recently sort of rejiggered and codified by the council.
Happens? The person is stopped on the street for having an open liquor bottle. Mm-hmm. What are the next steps?
Well, they get this citation that tells them to report to the local precinct. I think it identifies the station you're supposed to go to, and I think you have about 15 days to come there and do what you're going to do next. In most cases, if you're eligible for citation release at that point, in other words, you're not a danger of some kind and you're not going to be held, you will likely have the option of post and forfeit, or you can determine to go to trial. And there's preset dates for those citations that the court has already indicated are the dates for a hearing. And that's broken up, I think, by precinct level. So it's all very routinized and in advance, and you can make the choice at that point.
But if you're arrested, if the person is arrested and handcuffed and taken to the precinct, and they don't do the post and forfeit thing, what's the next step? Are they jailed overnight until they post bond?
Most likely they would have to wait until the next court hearing, and most likely that would mean about a night in jail. Yeah. Now, just on that note, the council amended the law in 2015 regarding post and forfeit. So the option for post and forfeit is no longer available for those who are not eligible for what they call the citation release, in which you would not be held overnight.
Okay. So only the citation release, the post and forfeit only applies to the citation release?
Or, I mean, theoretically, it could apply if you're taken into custody off the street, but you come to the station house and it's determined that we're not going to hold you and that you have the option to then leave. I think you would be eligible for post and forfeit. I don't know how often that would occur. But
how many other jurisdictions have something like this or a proxy?
You know, we've scoured the states and we didn't find a lot, but there are some. It's my understanding that you could find something equivalent to it in Idaho with regard to misdemeanor traffic cases, although it looks like the prosecutor's involved rather than just the police in that situation. In Wyoming, there's forfeiture of your collateral is considered nolo contendere. Mm-hmm. And then Georgia seems to have something for bad checks, where you can no contest a cash bond. It has to be a low-level check, I think, and it's a guilty plea. I would note that the federal system has something similar, but not exactly. If you look at Criminal Procedure Rule 58 on the federal level, it authorizes magistrates for certain misdemeanors to allow post and forfeiting. If you forfeit collateral there, however, it's likely to be a guilty finding of some kind. And all I could find was really the federal rule just allows local district courts to enact something. And at this point, Michigan and Pennsylvania seem to be the most explicit about the posting and forfeiting.
Why don't other jurisdictions have something like this, do you think?
I actually think it's possible they do, but it's hard to find them embedded in the code.
South Carolina at least used to have this procedure for traffic offenses.
I think I did see something for South Carolina.
I think I can tell you that South Carolina at least.
I think you're right, and I defer completely.
My wife and I both can separately tell you.
It's great. I think maybe I'm just a poor researcher. But I think there likely are more statutes. It's very difficult to find because the terminology is so local specific. And when you do searches of bond and collateral, you're going to get into the basic criminal procedure of posting bond. But to the extent they haven't used it, they just may not have the type of verb in municipality that we have. I don't know. In any event, really what this law is a very beneficial law for everyone. The District of Columbia is allowed to preserve its resources for those very serious crimes. Keep in mind, if any of these cases go to trial, you're likely going to have a police officer have to come in and testify. That's going to take that person off the street. You're going to have to devote a prosecutor to that particular day. I mean, there's a lot of resources that are spent on any trial. So this is a way to preserve those resources, but to maintain some deterrence. And it allows criminal defendants for these low-level crimes to just, sort of understand that this isn't something that they can just get a free pass on, but at the same time, be able to find a way to get out of a situation that perhaps they just mistakenly got into and not have to worry about all of this criminal process that can occur. I mean, it's beneficial to everybody. It's rationally related to the district's interests. There's just no reason to strike this law down. There are no other questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Give you a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I understand the government pointing out some of the policy benefits of this post and forfeit procedure, and they say that everybody benefits. But because of the lack of oversight, there is a problem that's created for society. To give an example, both the government and an individual might be happy if the government said, we'll offer you $50 not to criticize the president, and somebody who doesn't want to criticize the president say, great, I'm making $50, and both sides are happy, but that takes away an important public interest in the exercise of free speech. Similarly here, taking away due process undermines the system in a way that having an actual adjudicatory finding wouldn't. There would be some oversight in that case.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Case is submitted.